seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It is Football Tuesday, which means, we're going to talk all NFL on the show today. We got a lot to get into. The AFC and NFC championship games now complete. Gearing up for Super Bowl 55 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I guess it could have been predictable in the offseason on paper. A lot of people were high on Tampa Bay. I didn't think Tampa would get to the Super Bowl. I really didn't. They found a way to get there. So that's the big storyline on the show today. We're going to talk about the Packers. We'll talk about the Bills. We'll talk about all the playoff teams that did not advance to the Super Bowl and which ones are set up to make a run again next season. That's all coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Let's take a look at some of the national headlines. And, well, today we're still remembering Kobe Bryant. A year ago today, one of the greatest basketball players of all time passed away in a helicopter crash that also took his teenage daughter Gianna and seven others. Can't believe it was a year ago. And over the weekend, there was a lot of memorial tributes on television. I was glued to those throughout the entire weekend. It just it does not seem like it's been that long, and it still seems odd that we do not have the Black Mamba with us anymore. So today, remembering both Kobe and Gigi Bryant. Outside of that, well, there's some news coming out of Major League Baseball, and it has been a little slow as far as free agency. But today, the Phillies, they made it official. They gave JT Realmuto a five-year, $115.5 million deal. That gives him an average of $23 million. That's the highest for any catcher in Major League Baseball history. He's also just the third catcher to sign a contract worth more than $100 million. Can you name the other two? Joe Mauer, Buster Posey. It's a pretty elite category. JT Realmuto, I think he's worth it. Really, I do. I think the Phillies did exactly what they needed to do offensively. There's JT Realmuto, then there's a big gap from the next offensive catcher. And so he's not going anywhere. He's staying in Philadelphia for the long haul. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Short slate of games tonight. We get the Clippers and the Hawks. We'll also get the Wizards and the Rockets at 6 p.m. And then we'll get the Knicks and the Jazz. Tip off for that game also set for 7 p.m. So three games. The Jazz contest, however, will not air. Instead, we have the first USU Eastern men's basketball broadcast. Live coverage of that game will take place at 6:30 tonight, and then tip off will follow at 7. We got a lot to get into. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up, and then we'll jump into Football Tuesday, and it's right here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Now we have a week with no football coming up. Boy, it's been a long time, Vinny, since we've had a weekend with no football. We got the Pro Bowl, but that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. The Senior Bowl, but the game's horrible. You know, after the practices, the teams don't even watch the game most of the time.
No, the practices, it's the best part of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no football coming up this weekend. We have plenty of time to talk about the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, which I got to throw one more stat out there. I can't get over these two statistics around Patty Mahomes, and I don't know if you're aware of them. One, he's never lost a game by more than one score in the NFL. The last time a Patty Mahomes team lost by two scores, 2016, when he was at Texas Tech.
Wow. That's an impressive stat.
He has never lost a game he has started by two scores.
Huh.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Right? He's also the first quarterback not named Tom Brady since John Elway to go to back-to-back Super Bowls out of the AFC. And I know you love John Elway. You love you some John Elway. One of the greatest football players ever.
One of the greatest football players of all time. Yeah.
Look, Tom Brady's a unicorn.
No love for the Broncos, but yeah, that's an incredible. Those are incredible stats.
Patty Mahomes is a unicorn, Vinny. He is.
He's something. He is. You know, and that's a pretty good offense. They're humming. They got everything going. It's like almost like the perfect mix for him. You know, 1 week they're running the ball. I mean, Andy Reid and Bieniemy and the whole staff, they've done a great job surrounding him with the perfect scheme. Because it doesn't work all the time.
No,
you know, and
it doesn't.
You have to have that perfect marriage, and it works. They play to his strengths. You know, he can chuck it. And, wow, that is a pretty neat stat. Yeah.
Two mind-boggling stats.
Another mind-boggler.
Really, when you look at it.
And then Brady's, this is his 9th Super Bowl, correct?
10th. 10th. He's gone to 10 Super Bowls now.
Yeah, he's 6-3 so far, mm-hmm. right? That's right. Yeah, oh my God. That's a mind-boggling stat. Nothing else on earth, I don't think, could ever be more impressive than that. And I don't think we'll ever see it again. I know this whole thing of, you know, there's talk right now. I saw yesterday, I think it was Tyreek Hill, who, yeah, I'm a fan. He said that Mahomes will go down as the greatest and win more Super Bowls than everybody.
No.
In the salary cap era, it's not going to happen.
It's
In
not
In fact, with the problems no. they have coming up salary cap-wise, Mahomes gonna have to, they're probably gonna do some rebuilding to get even back into that.
Going to have to.
Yeah, so
you're going to have to.
I don't see it. I think what Belichick and Brady have done, you know, was incredible, and then Brady coming to a new team. And you know, and this team's pretty loaded. I mean, you know, I know everybody's down on New England and on the Brady bandwagon, but Tampa Bay's pretty loaded. I mean, there's a lot of weapons there, Jordan. I mean, he's not throwing to the same guys too is throwing to in Miami. You know what I mean?
We got to
put that into context.
Straight.
Yes.
I don't want it to sound like you can't make it appear that Tom Brady went to Chicago.
Yeah.
And took the Bears to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no.
He went to a good situation. And look, it was his right. He was a free agent.
He cherry picked it and he's earned it.
He has earned it.
Yeah, he has earned it. But, you know, this wasn't a talent laden team. This wasn't, I'm going to go rebuild a football team. He's never had to go through that.
It was a team that was a quarterback away.
Yeah.
I mean, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards. The problem was Jameis Winston makes stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem. So, you know,
In reality, I mean, that's a great point that you make, Jordan. I'm not jumping in front of you, but Winston threw for more touchdowns and more yards than Brady.
He did.
Now, if you take away, say, 12 of Winston's interceptions, last year the Bucs are probably in the NFC Championship game.
Good chance of it.
They're already there.
Jameis Winston had some very impressive performances last year. And look, let's be real. You go back to the Saints game against Chicago. Not against Chicago, against Tampa. Jameis Winston, you have a better chance of getting the ball downfield with Winston than you do Drew Brees. Like, Jameis Winston can play football.
He can play football.
He just makes stupid mistakes, and
shout
Tom Brady
out,
doesn't.
And that's not bashing Tom Brady, but and a shout-out to the Tampa Bay, and we'll preview all that, but I just want to shout out, Leonard Fournette and Devin White have been pretty dominant these playoffs.
Devin White.
And Leonard Fournette, he has been huge.
Well, let's start with Devin White, though, because when you're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you look at that defense, to me, it has to start with Devin White, who's only in his second year. And I feel like there's tiers of linebackers in the NFL. For the longest time, Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly, they were at the top.
Yeah, they were it.
They were one and two.
They were it, yeah.
In that tier. And you're starting to see, of course, Kuechly's gone, no longer playing. And Bobby Wagner's slowly starting to come back.
It happens.
It does.
Yeah,
age happens. And so when I watch young linebackers, and you tell me if I'm missing someone here, but I see Devin White.
Oh, he's been just...
He is fantastic. And we had him on the show. Remember, we had him on the show before the draft, and I fell in love with the kid then. And so I followed him extremely close. But we had Devin White, and Darius Leonard is right there.
Yeah, Darius Leonard, yeah.
And so those are probably, in my mind,
those are the next guys, right?
I don't know if I'm... I mean, Baker in Miami had a terrific season, and I think there's some... But... Again, there's tiers.
There's tiers, and those guys, they're one. They're it. He's been incredible. David, great. Yeah, great. We'll have time to talk about Tampa Bay, but yeah, those guys I want to shout out because I think they've been unsung heroes. People never talked about that. It was always going to be the weapons and, you know, stories because the NFL makes up stories. Brown and Gronkowski, they've been non-factors.
Yeah, but let's roll with this because I know this wasn't the planned segment, but that's okay. This is it's a fun conversation. I made the reference yesterday to cross-reference to the NBA because we get Mahomes and Brady in the Super Bowl and we can talk about the paths that it actually took to get here. But in my mind, this is truly the best case scenario for the NFL. It is Kobe, LeBron in the NBA. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And,
yeah.
And it never happened in the NBA.
You're a basketball guy, and that's it. The young star and the legend, you know, GOAT.
They never met up. LeBron couldn't hold up his end of the bargain, and by the time he had joined Miami, the Lakers were on their way down.
Or at the end of it would have been Jordan against Kobe. It's kind of the same scenario, right?
Maybe Jordan Magic when they played 91.
Yeah, you know,
Maybe that. I mean, that was Jordan's first championship. But that's what we're getting in this game, and I just can't stress it enough. You can throw all the statistics you want at me, and I want to tell people all the time, I want to say, well, Tom Brady wasn't that great. Look, he wasn't great in the game against Washington. He wasn't great in the game against New Orleans.
No.
And he wasn't great yesterday. I mean, the second half, he was good in the first half. Second half of this game on Sunday, he wasn't that good. But, Vinny, he's just a winner.
He is, and he has that intangible, that that's what Tampa Bay needed. That charisma, that aura of the room, when he walks into it, they're like, that's Tom Brady. You know, the story yesterday, Romo, you know, Cameron Brate said, I didn't sleep the entire night before the first night I was going to catch balls from Brady in a private workout. He was that, like, he was that excited and nervous because it was Tom Brady. I mean, Winston can throw it just like that.
Yeah.
But it was Tom Brady.
See, and this is where the problem
aura,
is, though, right?
Charisma that, you know, the way he commands the huddle, the way he commands, you know, you see, how many times have we seen Brady yelling on the field back at the coaches?
Often, with Josh McDaniels every game.
You know, that back and forth. And then when the game's over, first one to give him a big hug, right?
Right.
That competitiveness, that alpha male in the huddle as a quarterback. And that's all they needed. Really, that's really all they needed.
I can give you another stat that is, again, it's kind of mind-boggling. Tom Brady has as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. And we're talking about two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play, right? You could put Drew Brees and you can put Aaron Rodgers in your top seven or eight all time, right? You probably have to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he has just as many NFC championships as those two guys. And it's Tom Brady's greatness. And I'm not a Brady guy. I've had people who listen to the show come up to me and they think that I idolize Tom Brady. I'm not a Tom Brady guy. I'm just speaking the truth here. The fact of the matter is his resume is so great that it makes other great quarterbacks look average.
It does.
That's just a fact. Aaron Rodgers outplayed him yesterday or on Sunday.
He threw the ball better. Yeah,
he threw the ball better.
Yeah.
Late in the game, I don't know if he necessarily made... He had some bad decision-making, I thought, on Green Bay's, what turned out to be Green Bay's final drive.
Yeah, he should have run it. Yeah.
But when you look at the resume of Brady, it's incredible. And as we pointed out at the beginning, Patrick Mahomes has a long ways to go. 10 Super Bowls. That's a decade's worth of Super Bowls that this guy's played.
We'll never see that again.
I don't think you ever see it again.
I feel very confident saying in my lifetime, I'm never going to see that again. There's no way.
Look, Patrick Mahomes has to win 8 more conference championships. And as you mentioned, in the salary cap era, it's just not likely. We've seen, you saw probably, I'm confident in saying you saw the greatest or one of the greatest football teams of all time beat your Chargers down in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was the best football team I've ever seen.
They're probably, that 49er team is probably one of the greatest football teams of all time. How long did that last?
They were done.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't happen in the NFL. So when you look at, and it's different than the NBA. LeBron's gone to the NBA Finals 10 times. There's so many variables that play into that you can't use in football.
Exactly.
It's completely different.
It's completely different. There's a five game to seven game series.
It's not even close to being the same thing.
Yeah, not even close.
And so when you look at what this guy has accomplished over the course of his career in New England and now into Tampa Bay, look, 8 weeks ago, you and I were sitting here talking, this team might not make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. We were on here and we both picked against him this week.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, we did.
I picked against him 2 weeks ago as well.
Yeah, and we were wrong. And it just the aura, it's the charisma. I don't know what it is. It's it's the bounce, it's the luck. You know, a lot of it, sometimes you just, it goes your way. I mean, the last PI call in the game.
Right call.
It was the right call. But that didn't happen to Rodgers. He got an interception on, that should have been PI. In fact, it was worse.
Probably.
It was worse.
Probably.
They didn't call it. Rodgers don't get the call. At the end of the game, Brady gets the call, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
If they punt there, you don't know what's going to happen. Rodgers gets a ball back. I don't know. It's just, you know, Vinatieri making 3 kicks.
Clutch kicks. That
clutch
he buried.
Kicks.
Right.
The rule, you know, the tuck rule. That's a horrible call. And it went Brady's way. I mean, those are lucky breaks. right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what it is.
Playing in a horrible division for 19 years.
Playing in a horrible division for 19 years and always getting a first-round bye in a home game. Those are things that, you know, a lot of guys don't get. And, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's,
yeah, but...
The charm life, I don't know.
I know, Vinny, we're going to talk about the Packers next segment, and I know, but Aaron Rodgers has not been good in NFC Championship games.
He hasn't.
What is he now, 1-4?
He hasn't. Some of it... And, you know, again, here it goes. Is it Rodgers' fault? You remember in Seattle, game's over, onside kick. Guy catches the onside kick, game's over.
It's not Rodgers' fault.
That's not Rodgers' fault. It's just these breaks just always go Brady's way.
Last year, and he was not good in the NFC Championship game. The whole team wasn't good.
No, they got destroyed. And in this game, you know, I mean, defensively, they got let down. Kevin King gave up 14 points that should not have been given up. Aaron Jones fumbles on a great play. You know, things you can't control. Did he miss one at the end? Yeah, Rodgers probably should have ran that ball and dove for the pylon. Does he get in? We don't know.
He set you up fourth and goal, though, a manageable fourth and goal. That is next segment. Yeah. And I think this is a perfect spot to break.
Let's segue.
We're going to segue into it. We got to get out for a commercial break. Okay. More Football Tuesday coming up. We'll talk Packers. We'll talk Bills. We got plenty of time to preview Super Bowl 55. That's coming up next.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Talked about Brady and Mahomes. I mean, that is, again, unless you're State Farm, that is the perfect matchup for the NFL. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's a passing of the torch moment. It's a beautiful matchup. The NFL, you couldn't script it any better. Let's talk about the two teams that got beat. We'll start by talking about the Green Bay Packers. And before we get into the Aaron Rodgers saga, and I don't know, look.
Let's let that one calm down before we dive into
that. Where there's smoke, there's fire. We said this last year with Tom Brady. There was talk that was his last pass in a Patriot uniform. And you and I went back on this, remember? And you had me convinced at times. There's no way he's going to leave New England. But when Adam Schefter gets on TV and says something, Adam Schefter knows what he's talking
something.
About.
He's heard something.
And so we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers deal in a moment. Let's start by talking about Matt LaFleur, because Packer fans are not happy with LaFleur. Packer fans aren't happy with a lot of people right now. They're not happy with Kevin King. They're not happy with the officials. They're not happy with
Matt
LaFleur.
Well, they got
reason
to be upset with the officials and Kevin King. They got genuine reasons for that.
As far as Matt LaFleur goes, Vinny, you know, as long as you and I have been talking football, you know I'm a huge Matt LaFleur guy. Always have been.
Yep.
Love Matt LaFleur. I praised the hire when it happened. I love the guy. I'm watching this game on Sunday, and I legitimately could not understand, A, why he went for two. People say, well, he was trying to make it a three-point game. You do not chase points in the NFL in the third quarter. You do not do it. I refuse to believe you do that. You say it's a three-point game, I understand that, right? But if you give up a field goal, you have to go for two again. Now, should it have been successful? Yes, but you don't chase points at that point in time in the game.
Okay,
that's one.
Okay.
I'm just not a fan of it. I'm super conservative when it comes to points and quarters one through three. Fourth quarter, a little bit different, but one through three, I'm super, super conservative. Remember the statistics we went over with kicking field goals and taking the points? I believe in the numbers. Okay. Two, I didn't understand the play calling when they got inside the 10-yard line.
I totally agree with you on that one.
Three plays. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Packer fans idolize this guy, and rightfully so. He's pretty damn good at football. I question his decision-making on second and third down. He had an opportunity to set them up. Fourth and goal from the three, fourth and goal from the four. You and I were watching the tape. He could have gotten inside the five-yard line, no doubt.
Absolutely.
He may have hit the pylon. I don't know.
He may have hit the pylon.
Okay. But guess what? Even if he does, it's not a foregone conclusion because you still have to go for two because you went for two and didn't get it in the third quarter. Okay? Then he decides to kick a field goal. Why would you kick a field goal on fourth and goal from the nine, even though you have three timeouts? And I asked this question on Twitter, and Packer fans ripped my head off at the time. Now they say it's stupid, because hindsight's always 20/20, right? Packer fans ripped my head off on this one yesterday, or on Sunday when I said this. I understand a touchdown wins you the game, but you have the ball inside the opponent's 10-yard line. If you don't get it, their field position is horrible. You think Tom Brady's going to drop back to pass inside the 10? I don't think so. Okay, then you take it a step further than that. Even if you don't get it, you kick the field goal. Okay, you're down 5, right? Even if you don't get it, what do you have to do on your next possession regardless?
Score a touchdown.
You're inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you made some amazing points. I had some problems with the way that Rodgers threw the ball. He had Davante Adams overthrew him.
Yeah.
Lazard was wide open right there anyways.
Yep.
He could have kicked it to Lazard. He was open for touchdown, so he missed that. I agree with you on the third down run. On the third down, not only did he miss the guy, you know, miss running the angle to the pylon there, you know, a pump fake holds the double coverage that he threw into anyways, and he threw it at the ground. So he actually did nothing out of that. The, you know, I will disagree with you on the going for two. I'm more aggressive. I was fine with going for two earlier in the game. The guy dropped the ball. That's inexcusable.
And that's philosophy.
And that's
inexcusable. It's philosophy.
Right. That's inexcusable. It was an easy play. The guy should have caught that ball.
Yeah. You asked 32 coaches. 16 would go one way, 16 would go another.
Yeah,
it's philosophy.
And that's fine. That one wasn't a killer. I agree with you on the kicking the field goal. I think you got to go for it there. You've got to be aggressive.
I just didn't understand it.
You know, and one of the things I hate is when people change who they are. You know, you just can't do that. When you get into the conference game, it's just another football game. You've made it all year. That those are your guys. That is another game. Ain't no different than Week 7 to me. If you were going to go for it, go for it. If that's who you are, be who you are. And I think getting conservative in these big-time moments, I don't like it. You get aggressive on a two-point conversion, and then you pull back at the end of the game. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's inconsistent.
It's inconsistent. Yeah. I think it went against his nature. I think he panicked a little bit right there.
Okay, so you just mentioned be who you are. And I brought this up on the show yesterday, and I'm not taking a shot at Aaron Rodgers. I'm not. But you're Aaron Rodgers. Why did you allow the special teams unit to come on the field?
Yeah, and you know, I was a little disappointed in that and just kind of skulking off the field in the press conference, you know. Again, these guys, you know, they put in a whole year's worth of work. And the disappointment and everything that goes into that moment, those emotions are just out of control at the end of these games, right? I was a little disappointed in the whole, it wasn't my decision to kick the field goal.
Well, it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't your decision to call the play that you threw 40 touchdowns on either, and the guys are wide open.
Well,
it's a team game.
That's a good point.
It's a team game, and you're the leader of this football team. Don't pout at the end of the game.
Okay, so he didn't run on third. That was all him.
He had Lazard wide open. Yeah, I believe it was second down.
He was wide open.
He could have just...
So you go back and you look at everything, and then again...
And there's this report coming out, and then he's acting the way he is.
Yeah, and he didn't take control on fourth down. And that bugged me, you know, because you have 3 timeouts and you don't want to use a timeout. You had the 2-minute warning still, so you technically had 4 timeouts. But I just have to believe that if that's Tom Brady out there on the field and Bruce Arians sends the special teams unit out, Tom Brady looks at Bruce Arians and tells him to get the special teams back on the sideline. They're going for it.
Yeah, there's some of that alpha going on there. You know, again, it can go either way because the odds are you're going to stop them. And let's be honest, you know, if they don't throw a flag there, you do get the ball back.
You get the ball back.
You do get the ball back, and you still have to score a touchdown. Yeah, agreed, but a touchdown, 2-point conversions, a tall order to begin with. But for the Packers, you go back through that game, Jordan, just missed opportunities.
And Aaron Rodgers' reaction to all of it leads me to ask you this question. Is he really done in Green Bay?
Like, I don't see how. But me and you were going back and forth with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a free agent. His contract was up. Aaron Rodgers has a big money contract with 3 more years left on it. So he doesn't have a lot of options or leverage to do anything. His options are show up to Green Bay and play football or retire. Because what else can you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
So that I think that's a big difference is Brady was a free agent and he saw the writing. And let's be honest, Tom Brady saw the writing on the wall with the Patriots cap situation. It played into it. It played into it. He knew.
Sure it did.
He knew they were going to be missing a bunch of people and that roster had to turn over. So he went with, well, I'm not going to rebuild in New England at this stage of my career. I'm going to go a team that's loaded. So people forget that too.
Right.
But, you know, let's talk about the Packers, though.
Well, a
couple of missed opportunities.
One more thing.
Okay.
And I want to go back to what you said about Rodgers and what's he going to do. He can, look, this is a player-driven league now. I mean, it really is.
So what does he do? Force a trade?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to take him.
Somebody would take him.
Can they take that contract?
And
there's a lot going into it. And this
is
the worst time to do it.
The salary cap's down, what, $35 million from what it should be due to the the sales and everything? That's $35 million.
But he holds the leverage in the fact that, look, if Deshaun Watson's a hot name right now, Aaron Rodgers would be a hot name. You're getting 2 or 3 years. And I've had people tell me, well, you're only going to get 2 or 3 years out of Aaron Rodgers. Well, tell that to Tampa Bay.
Tell that to Tampa, yeah.
Right. You would take it.
They'll take it.
You would take it. And it just leads me to believe, with all these reports coming out from, that this isn't some message board. This isn't Twitter. These are legitimate NFL reporters saying there's problems there. And there was problems when they drafted Jordan Love. We were talking during the draft.
Yeah.
Remember when they drafted Jordan Love? We were stunned that they drafted him.
But the guy also put up an MVP-type season. It's not like...
Well, he's going to win MVP, yeah.
Yeah, he put up an MVP season, and it's not like he played poorly. And so, you know, I think it's too soon to start these, and I think it started right after the press conference when the first time I heard these rumblings, oh, Rodgers may be done. Let the emotions die down, and once he realizes, what else can he do? What's the better situation for him?
I don't know that he loves Matt LaFleur. I don't know that he does.
Did Tom Brady love Bill Belichick all the time?
No, but guess what? Tom Brady went to 9 Super Bowls with Bill Belichick. So,
and the Packers, they're close. When they look at that film, they're going to know they had a legitimate chance to win that football game.
Sure they did.
They don't make a couple dumb mistakes, and they're right in this.
I'm not saying he's leaving. I'm just saying there's a problem there.
I'm sure. Yeah, those do happen when you have a moment like that. Two years in a row, you get the title game, and you guys... they look like they didn't show up.
So now that the Packers head into the offseason, there's some uncertainty as far as some of the decisions that they have to make. I don't think they're far off from getting back to this point. I think as long as you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
There's some good young talent on that
team.
They
got some good young talent. I think
they don't
have
a ton of pending free agents.
Not a ton.
This team's close, and they're right there.
So
I would think, let's be honest, Jordan, what's the number one need in your mind after watching that game? Yesterday or Sunday, excuse me.
Well, I mean, I have to step away from what I saw on the field, and I'll just tell you right now, the number one thing, they have to make sure they go out and re-sign Corey Linsley. That's number one.
Right.
That's number one at the top.
What's
of
the
your
upgrade? Greaseboard. What's the position you saw and you said, well, we got to upgrade that position? It's cornerback.
Well, yes, because of the day that King had.
And he's injury prone.
And he's injury
prone.
He's
been very inconsistent. I mean, they threw to Alexander's side, I think, 4 times. He had 2 interceptions, an incompletion, and he nailed down a screen. I mean, he was pretty dominant.
Yeah, and that's the other problem that I have with this Green Bay secondary, right? And let's make a reference to Jalen Ramsey. Okay. Is this a Mike Pettine deal? And the reason I'm bringing it up is that Mike Pettine, because the Rams have Jalen Ramsey, and they have the likes of Darius Williams. It's not a household name. He had a fantastic season. So if you have Jaire Alexander shutting down one side of the field, this may be a Mike Pettine problem where you have capable talent that you're not putting in the right position to succeed.
Could be, because Kevin King, but he's had a lot of injuries in his career.
He has.
And I don't know if it might be a scheme fit because he's a tall, lanky guy, doesn't run well, obviously. You saw him, they run right by him a couple times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at this Packer team, they're not far off.
No, not at all.
Another corner, more O-line depth. They had some trouble, and people were like, you know, Rodgers getting pressured. Well, yeah, that's a backup left tackle.
Right.
Yeah, that's a difference. You know,
it's a big difference, no doubt.
And you're going to see these things in an NFC title game when you're playing the best of the best. When you have a backup playing, you know, sometimes he gets beat. And there's a reason he's not the starting left tackle.
You know, though, you bring up defensive back, and I think this also plays into the story about Aaron Rodgers. Because they elected to go Jordan Love in the first round, and they passed on some pretty good talent at defensive back. Right? Because once Jordan Love goes... First off, he passed on Patrick Queen. He went right after Jordan Love, right? A couple of picks. You passed on Jeff Gladney. You passed on... I mean, the talent goes on and on and on when you look at the defensive backs that they passed on in this... Jalen Johnson, Trevon Diggs. They passed on all these guys to draft a quarterback. Is that a problem?
No, because without a quarterback, you have nothing. So you've always got to have that plan in play. So I just can't buy... You know, and maybe there is problems with... It goes back to our point. Maybe there's problems with Rodgers. Well, 2 years down the road, now you're stuck with nothing. What do you have? Now at least you can say, hey, I spent 2 years developing my guy.
You're New England at that point, right? Because they have nothing.
They have nothing, yeah. Do you want to be stuck with that? Well, now if Rodgers says, well, hey, I'm done. Well, guess what? I spent a whole year developing my guy. yep. watching Aaron Rodgers do it.
It's a good point. So
you're never out that way.
It's a good point.
Because without a quarterback, you have nothing.
Does Green Bay get back to the NFC Championship next year?
They'll be right in it, yes.
I agree.
They'll be absolutely right in it.
We got to take another quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Buffalo Bills. Man, they let me down yesterday or on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. They
let me down
Josh
bad.
Josh Allen was, yeah, he had a rough night.
We'll talk about that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAN. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up in the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
I feel like I'm going to lose my way.
We're back on Football Tuesday. It's Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. We just talked Packers. We got to move over and talk about the Bills. And there's no moral victories, and you and I both thought that they would be the representative in the Super Bowl, like the idea that this team was built to contend with the Kansas City Chiefs. Best offseason, I think, of any team.
And they laid an egg.
Josh Allen, I thought for sure that he should, and I still believe this, he should get some running for the MVP.
Yeah, absolutely.
Played a great year, 13-3. You know, if it was the old playoff format, they'd have gotten a first-round bye. They win a division championship. They get a home playoff win. Things just looked good for the Buffalo Bills. Unfortunately, it falls short, and they lost to a juggernaut. And that's what Kansas City is. You go to back-to-back Super Bowls, really, they're an overtime away from going to three consecutive Super Bowls. You lost to a juggernaut. But, Vinny, even though it was a loss and a bad loss at that, because they weren't even close to performing the way they could perform, what a big step for this franchise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, I know there's no moral victories, but, you know, if you're Buffalo, the future is bright. You have a young, you know, the coaching staff, you have a young quarterback. He stunk it up yesterday at times. He really did. But, you know, this is something, because put this in context for a lot of people, maybe you're used to seeing Josh Allen. We've been watching football our whole lives, right, Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
25 years between Buffalo playoff wins. That's 2.5 decades.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine that. 2.5 decades. For a lot of young football fans, I have a cousin who's a diehard Bills fan. He'd never seen him in his life in the playoffs. A couple years ago when they made the playoffs for the first time, that was the first time he'd ever seen his team in the playoffs. 2 or 3 weeks ago when they won, that's the first time in his life he'd seen them win a playoff game.
Uh-huh.
So, huge. They got the right coach. The general manager's there. Great fan base. They don't have cap problems. A lot of young talent on the team. Talent on the team. So, for Bills, the future is bright. The future is bright. And, you know, and it takes those steps sometimes. Josh Allen took the step, right? He got into the championship game. Yeah, and now he knows what it's like.
You know, as far as taking that step, let me give you this statistic. He goes from being 32nd in the NFL in completion percentage last year at 58.8%. He made the jump to 69.2%.
That's incredible.
That's fourth. He went from 32nd to fourth in 1 year. Then when you take a look at the offense, second highest scoring offense in the league, they were up from 23 a year ago when they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you look at the growth, and we can talk about Stephon Diggs. I thought he forced it, tried to get the ball in Diggs' hands, maybe a time or two too many on Sunday. But really, outside of Stephon Diggs, does Josh Allen have astonishing weapons?
No.
He doesn't.
No.
And so there's a lot to be excited about. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think they're close. You know, and a little more O-line depth. I think that's obvious. Another
defensively,
receiver.
Defensively, they're going to have to improve defensively.
They're going to have to improve defensively on the edge.
On the edge.
And it's really on the edge.
Yeah.
You know, Hughes and those guys, they blitz and they get creative. Edmonds and Milano played good this year. Tre'Davious White, you know, the safeties are good, but they really do have to get some edge pressure. Imagine that team with a dominant pass rusher.
Right.
I mean, whew. So they're right there. They're doing it the right way. They have a classy organization, great fans, young talent. I like the Bills. Do I think they're right back in it next year? Absolutely.
They should be.
They don't have cap problems. And again, you know, Kansas City, kudos to Andy Reid and Bieniemy and Spags and the whole group. But they're going to have a lot of cap problems.
Yeah, the cap in the NFL is a myth. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, but still, this year, it's, you know, there will be some cap problems.
Yes.
So they can't all come back.
You get past the next 2 years, you're going to be okay.
You know, so
if you can figure it out.
You know, some of those guys won't be back. And so I like Buffalo. They're drafting, they're developing. I just like that. And I expect them to be right back in the thick of it next year.
And I think McDermott's the right guy.
He is.
I think they got the right guy.
He fits that town. And I hope Leslie Frazier stays. I hope he doesn't leave for Houston. I think that's a mistake on his part.
Yeah, and another point, you're talking about the cap. Josh Allen is in line for a big deal. And you got to get that figured out if you're Buffalo well, right? And the worst part about
it... The next 2 years is your window.
It is your window.
It's your window.
Because here's the worst part about it. The market is dictated by the last contract at that position.
Mm-hmm.
If it's running back, if it's quarterback, if it's wide receiver, whatever it is. Sorry, Buffalo, but guess who just set the market at quarterback?
Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
And it was a jaw-dropping dollar amount.
Yeah.
Literally jaw-dropping. So when you say your window is 2 years, yeah, your window is 2 years.
Your window is 2 years.
Because you're going to have to give Josh Allen.
You have a three-year window, and this was year one.
Yep.
And you got to the championship game, and hey... You know, he didn't play great. He's going to watch that film, and he's going to be sick to his stomach. Some of the throws, easy throws he was forcing. He was a couple third downs. He had Diggs and Beasley. He threw it into the fourth row with that cannon he's got. You know, he's got to play better. A couple of horrible sacks that he shouldn't have took. So, yeah, he's got to play better. But I like that team, and I expect them to have their three-year window. You know, most teams, it is a three-year window. You're lucky if you get four out of it. Next two, I think they're in it.
Okay, both of us agree that Buffalo will be back in the mix again next season. I agree with that. I want to break this down by the final four teams in each conference. And I say the final four because expanding the playoffs to seven, almost half the teams in each conference make the playoffs. And no disrespect to Chicago. Chicago's not a legitimate...
No, they're not close.
They're not close.
No.
Okay, you go to the AFC. I thought the AFC was better front to back. You know, you had a team like the Dolphins not getting in.
Yeah.
Indianapolis was a legit seven seed, right? Okay, so we'll look at the top four. In the AFC, you had Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, and Cleveland. All four of those teams back in the mix next year?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think so. I think, you know, depending on, again, salary cap and injuries, that, you know, those are things you just can't control. If Mahomes doesn't play, you know, Buffalo wins. We both know that.
Sure.
And injury. He was close, not playing. Yeah. So it's just going to be the salary. We don't know what it's going to be at. You know, the number's coming out, what, 175 right now? Mm-hmm. Well, that's $30 million
less.
Difference.
Someone took Russell Wilson away from your team.
Exactly. So some of these teams right now, they're going to have some tough choices to make. And it's not about the amount of big contracts, amount of players. So you look at some of these teams, and, you know, if they only have 30 players on a contract next year and they're already over the cap, they got to sign 23 players.
Right.
And shed money. So you're going to lose two or three players. And the difference in the NFL, two or three players is the difference between 7 and 9
and
11.
And six.
Yeah, and 11 and 5.
Yeah.
Two or three players is the difference.
Yeah.
So I think salary cap and injuries, but yeah, that's a safe bet. Okay. I like the four you pick. I think they're all back in it.
Well, they were the top four teams.
And they have younger quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
See Mayfield took a step. Jackson, we'll see if he took a step. An incredible athlete. Mahomes, obviously, is incredible. Josh Allen, up until yesterday, or excuse me, Sunday, was incredible. So, yeah, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, and you know, once you get past that top four, I mean, Miami's going to be there. We know this. Indianapolis, I don't know because we don't know about
the quarterback.
Yeah, we don't know about the quarterback situation. Tennessee, to me, they should be a playoff team once again, but I don't know. There's something missing for
there's
me
something
in Tennessee.
Missing there. You know, Tennessee to me, it's a pass rush away.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something missing there.
Yeah.
You go to the NFC, you look at the final four teams. I don't know. It's a little different in the NFC.
Yeah.
Because
the age of the quarterbacks.
Age of the quarterbacks, quarterback situations.
Mm-hmm.
I do not expect New Orleans to be back next year.
No.
As far as cap money is concerned, they're in a world of hurt.
They are in a bad, bad situation right now.
And they have continued to defer money, but eventually you have to pay that. Okay, so I'm not buying New Orleans.
Does Brady come back if he wins the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we have no idea.
Does he write off and say, look, I want another one, I'm done?
I have to believe he'd come back for one more year, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
It's a legitimate conversation to have, right? So then you look at Green Bay. Well, we just talked about Aaron Rodgers. We talked about his situation. I do believe he stays in Green Bay.
And they're right back in it. I believe that.
You have the Rams, and I believe the Rams will be back in it. They have some cap problems, but it's a great defense.
It's a great defense.
And they have some pieces.
They do.
You get beyond the Rams.
I think Rams are close.
And, I think they're close.
You know, I watch a lot of Rams football. You're a Rams homer. Everybody knows. I think their speed on offense from being dominant on offense again.
Yeah, they're close.
Like one explosive player. So I think they're close. So, yeah, I agree with those situations.
So then you get past the top four in the NFC. You have Chicago. We agree they're not even close.
No.
We can talk Washington. I don't believe they're close. They got a good front seven.
Another quarterback situation. We don't
have
know.
No idea.
Yeah, we have no idea.
And I don't love the weapons that they have offensively to begin with. And we talk Seattle.
It's just like they're there. They're always just kind of right there, huh?
Yeah, they're not on the next level.
They're not.
And the reason I'm iffy on Seattle is because I don't think they're better than the Rams. I don't. They may have won the division, but I told you there is no way the Rams were going to lose that game to Seattle in the playoffs.
You called it.
They're not on that level. And I have to believe that next year San Francisco is better. They're healthier.
I really like that team.
I like that team if they're healthy. And Arizona improved drastically this year. So to me, the two teams in the NFC that I look at and I say, biggest question marks, it's got to be Seattle and Chicago for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Out of the playoff teams.
Yeah, and again, cap the salary cap and injuries and what people have to do. I mean, you're going to see teams be desperate. And, you know, I will think, honestly, Jordan, I'm going to be honest with you. I think next year we're going to see a lot of teams tank. And what I mean by that is while the cap's down, they're going to shed weight right now and take the beating this next year. Because when the cap jumps, guess what? Now they have young players they developed, and now they have tons of money. Because the cap will jump back up.
It will, eventually.
In 22, the cap's going to be, you know, it's probably going to go over $200 million again. Well, guess what? If you shed that money and take the beating next year, you know, similarly to what, you know, people want to talk about it, that's what Belichick did.
Mm-hmm.
He tanked, and he knows it.
He had his best players opt out. Hightower didn't even play.
And he shed the weight. He knew it. He took it. Hey, I'm going to get, but guess what? Moving forward, his cap situation looks great. So I think teams are going to do that. I mean, New Orleans, Philadelphia, I wouldn't be surprised Kansas City to some degree to get rid of some big contracts to create room. So we'll see. I think the salary cap and injuries are going to be huge, but I agree with mostly all the teams you've said. And there's some teams every year that are going to surprise. What are those teams? We don't know because so many quarterbacks are going to be on the move. Is it true? Is it true Wentz leaves? Is it true Stafford leaves? Rodgers? Who is the quarterback in New Orleans?
We have no idea. You going to pay Jameis?
AFC, you're looking at these guys, you're thinking, all right, these four that we talked about, they have young quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're set.
And then you look around the rest of the NFL or the AFC and you're going, well, who's the next team that could be right there? Well, I'm going to sound like a homer, but the Chargers.
Dolphins.
The Dolphins. And guess what? Good young quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Both of them, yeah. And yeah, they both have their guys.
And the Dolphins, they did it the right way. They're probably 2 years ahead of their plan that they thought they'd be.
I would assume. We thought they were going to go 0-16 last year.
Flores has been incredible. So next year, they may make a giant jump. And guess what? They're right back in this thing. Mm-hmm. So interesting. But next year will be fun. We'll see. But yeah, good young quarterbacks.
Yeah, this is the talk that we have now. And next week, I believe by the time we talk on Tuesday, every head coaching vacancy will be filled.
Yeah, and I'm interested because me and you are both coach guys, and we were kind of thinking we were going to have that talk today, but
Houston still
way to go, Houston.
Yeah, thank you.
Josh McNown.
We'll talk about that next week on Football Tuesday. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.